to the Maverick Way Radio Hour. Hello, this is Blaine Freest. We are live here on Blog Talk Radio, Maverick Way Radio Hour. This week, we've got something really super special, celebrating a little bit of film and film history. Well, not so much history, maybe more since we're sort of a business show. We'll talk a little bit about the business of film and, of course, the politics of film. Clearly, politics were a huge part of this year's Oscars, and obviously there is plenty of entertainment value in this year's political season. So anyway, we have with us today the director of C Street and a number of other things, Peter James Iyengo. And Peter, did I pronounce your last name right?
It's Iyengo, but that's okay.
Iyengo, sorry.
That's okay.
So we've got Peter. So Peter is director and producer, most recently C Street, but he's also got a lot of other stuff going on. Peter, why don't you to the Maverick people, the Maverick community?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm always happy to, talk about the different projects and, bring across anything I can about, my experiences in the business.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Peter. And we've got some questions here for you. So if you are listening in, you can always call in through blogtalkradio.com. If you're listening there, you can call us at 646-564-9625. Again, that's 646-564-9625. All right. So, Peter, tell us about this whole C Street project. Now, let me read from your stuff here. It's about sex, drugs, and family values. C Street: How Politics Really Gets Done. So, this is a perfectly prescient time to be talking about your film, of course. So, tell us a little bit about the movie first, and then we'll talk about how you came up with the idea. And well, you didn't write it, but
I'd be happy to talk about, of course, the journey behind it, like you said, C Street, I like how you kind of, you gave our official log line, which is always good, you're absolutely right. The political climate right now is really prime for a story like this. And I think there's a lot of kind of serendipity that we were able to get the movie kind of together, produce it, get it done, and be able to kind of aim to package it and get it out there right now while we have the current political climate we do. The movie is 100% a satire. And what I mean by that is it's a comedy very reminiscent of some older movies that existed in kind of the satire that they were. Take, for instance, Airplane, or a lot of different movies from John Hughes or Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles, Spaceballs, things of that nature, and some really great movies from John Hughes like Uncle Buck and, Summer Vacation, etc. And it's kind of a movie where there's levels of it that are somewhat grounded in reality, but it's, of course, over-dramatized, and the satire is there for the comedy. But what I always found interesting when – so this movie is written by a very talented writer and producer who, we wouldn't be here without. His name is Brett Lewis. And he's an extremely talented writer. And he came up with the vision of this idea. And what always struck me when Brett first approached me about the idea and our first dialogue ensued was he kind of articulated the fact that some of the characters, some of the politicians that he created in the script and some of the scenarios that he put them in, although they may be over-dramatized, some of them were based on a foundation of things that really did happen in our political history. And
well,
I found that very interesting, you know.
Well, and I'm laughing because you're using the word overdramatized in politics, and we're looking at, you know, some of the craziest crap I've ever seen, you know. So
yeah,
considering what's going on,
I think reality is probably more overdramatized than my movie at this point.
yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, you call it satire, we call it the way politics happened today. Yeah, it's a bit nutty.
Absolutely. So I mean, really, you know, that's what's very interesting about the movie. And there's a lot of funny things that go on, and I think that it intellectually and kind of on a clever level kind of approaches a lot of political issues that have gone on in the past and are currently going on, and kind of presents it through the comedy of the movie. And I think comedy is one of the best devices we have as artists, whether we're writers, filmmakers, etc., to bring across issues.
Yeah, well, why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, we live in a world, and we certainly live in a country where there's so many different personal views that kind of divide us. And I think, you know, our different religious, views, our different political views, our different moral and life values, if you will. And I think that I always notice when people kind of presented with an opinion, you know, whether your movie's opinionated or whether your writing is opinionated, you know, they'll judge it more harshly, and they'll say, okay, well, you know what? I don't even want to pay attention to that, or I don't even want to read that or listen to that because I feel a certain way. And this isn't that way. You know, this isn't conservative. This isn't liberal. You know, this isn't, you know, the religious beliefs the way I have them, you know, the way I believe. And in my mind, I think comedy, for some reason, kind of takes down that barrier. And, you know, it just kind of lets everyone, no matter what your views are, kind of, you know, listen and enjoy it, you know, and I think it's easier to kind of get across certain messages. You know, people aren't as apprehensive or defensive.
Right, right. So they're laughing a little bit, and I also think they're not going to be so critical. You know, if you've got something there that's supposed to be a drama, you know, people are going to get really critical with facts and, you know, that's
absolutely
unrealistic, and, you know, and then turn off. And, you know, the thing is that we connect through humor. You know, human beings just connect through humor really, really well. And like you were saying, it's a great way to break down barriers and allow people to open up and maybe be a little bit more open to something that, if you're trying to, you know, knock them on the head with politics or a particular point of view, you're going to shut a lot of people down.
Absolutely. You know, I think that, I mean, in all honesty, Blaine, I think if you take a show like Saturday Night Live that has, you know, been around for over four decades now, I think that's a really great example of all the comedians that have gone through there, the great writers and comedians. They've always done a really stellar job, you know, over the different generations and years of presenting so many different, you know, issues, you know, political issues, religious issues, mm-hmm. et cetera. And why has it been able to be so successful, I think, and reach so many people? Because like you said, we're, you know, it's going through comedy. You know, and I think that's been one of the strong suits of SNL. And I think that's exactly what I felt about C Street. And I know that the writer felt the same way. That's why he wrote it, you know, as a comedy. I mean, he loves comedy, and he is a very, comedic writer. But I think he felt that, hey, these are some really great kind of issues or great topics, but let's do it in a comedic way, and we'll be better for it, you know, and people really enjoy the movie. And I think ultimately that's what we were able to accomplish here with our film.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, as we've discussed, you know, the show, The Maverick Way, is really about Maverick entrepreneurs, and we've definitely have a business bent to our show. So why don't you tell us a little bit of the story about how this, the script or the film or whatever, how it showed up on your radar, maybe what got you interested in actually pursuing it, and then let's talk a little bit about you know, what it takes to put a production team and then a cast together and all of that stuff. So
sure.
Tell us at the very beginning, what was the first time you had any exposure to this?
I absolutely love how meaty that question was. There was like four different sections to it.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And unfortunately, I didn't take notes.
I like that. You know, it's like one of those SAT questions. Answer this part, you know, then answer that part.
right.
Well, you know, several years ago, you know, I was a fresh kid right out of college. Young filmmaker, and I had done some movies, and I had received some accolades, and I had just finished my first feature, and I had met Brett through the internet. He actually had connected with me through a post that he had put out on the internet, looking for, you know, a filmmaker to kind of collaborate with him on some stuff, and at the time, Brett actually was working with an associate of his to kind of put together these comedic commercials for this associate's company. And what happened was that we wound up working together on that, and he wound up writing those commercials and producing them, and I had also produced it and ultimately directed them. And it was a blast, and we had a wonderful working relationship together. We really got each other, and, you know, they really came out great, and it was a great kind of, you know, springboard to our relationship. And at the time, Brett had communicated to me that he had this really, you know, cool script that he was into, this idea, and he told me about the idea, and he sent me, you know, the draft that he had at the time, and I instantly loved the idea. And I was totally on board with developing it, and I had hit him with a lot of ideas of how I would like to approach the vision, the direction, and the comedic aspect of it, and he really liked it. And, you know, what happened, which I'm going to tell you, Blaine, is a story of kind of what happens a lot in the movie business, is that at the time that we wanted to do it, there was a lot of things that happened that is the right word, but they kind of put it on the back burner, and we weren't able to make it right at that very moment. But we knew that we had a good idea, we knew that we wanted to do it together, and we knew that it would be worthwhile to make. So, you know, a couple of years went by, fast forward a couple of years, and last year, you know, well, actually, I should say I'm saying last year, but actually it's really 2014, you know, Brett had reached out to me. We had stayed in contact, of course, and you know, we were ready to go. It was better timing, you know, and he was ready to kind of, you know, produce this movie and really get it off the ground and greenlight it. So we sat down and, you know, we discussed a realistic timetable, you know, to do our pre-production, when to shoot our production, and of course a realistic time to finalize the film. And that was it, you know, and Brett is very good friends with a well-known producer. Her name is Ann Luster. She came on board. She's produced several, you know, feature films that have been out there, you know, have done some wonderful things. And she came on board and, you know, she helped us, and we got a casting director. And one of the first things we did was kind of go out there and discuss the cast and, you know, discuss the budget. And, you know, and then we kind of moved forward. So that's kind of how that kind of happened. As far as what really gravitated me towards it, you know, those many years ago and kept me interested, you know, when we greenlit this, you know, a year and a half ago, was really the story. You know, I saw an opportunity, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I really saw the opportunity to do two things. One, make a comedy more reminiscent creatively and artistically of the older style. And when I say older style, you know, for me, I mean films that were, you know, created by John Hughes and Mel Brooks, and comedies that, you know, Chevy Chase and Steve Martin were a part of, you know, and John Candy. So I saw an opportunity to do a movie like that, a comedy like that. You know, today, Blaine, and I'm sure you can agree to this, you know, there's different players in comedy today. And the comedy films have a different vibe than those older ones that I'm talking about. You know what I mean, right?
It just feels like most of the comedy films out today are, you know, who can be the stupidest, who can do the most stupid shit.
I mean, you know, I think that there is a different style of comedy. I can say that for sure. And what I can say to you for sure is that that's not the style of comedy that I wanted to bring to C Street. And I think what really gravitated me to Brett and to direct his script was that he
Okay, looks like we lost Peter on the call, so we'll get him called, dial right back in. You know, welcome to all sorts of stuff. So, again, you were speaking with Peter Iango, the producer, co-producer and director of the movie C Street. Like I said, he just dropped, but actually, Cameron, why don't you pop on? All right, Cameron, we got you?
Yep, it looks like Peter's back too.
All right,
sorry.
Well, let's get Peter. No, that's all right.
It happens. But I guess you want me to just pick up from where I was, Blaine?
Yeah, just pick up and we'll go from there.
Sure. So, like I said, you know, we didn't want to make a comedy like that. You know, so ultimately, at the end of the day, I think what made me excited and what drove me to the movie was the opportunity to make a comedy like that. You know, my whole career, I've been excited about doing that. I grew up on those movies. Those movies were things that I idolized, filmmakers and actors that I idolized. So I saw an opportunity to do that. That's what gravitated me towards C Street. On an underlining level, you know, in addition to that, there was the excitement that you know, we could kind of bring light to some of the craziness, if you will, of things that have happened politically. And, you know, and like we first talked about, bring that across to people and they may actually absorb it because we're doing it in a comedic way. So they may not be as apprehensive about it. So that also, underneath the surface, excited me too as a filmmaker. And I would say those were definitely the two, you know, main reasons why I, as a director, I felt that there was, you know, there's when I was in film school and studying, you know, famous directors and, you know, understanding this beautiful art and the beautiful history that existed before me, one of the things that always reached out to me was that, you know, Ingmar Bergman, you know, such an amazing filmmaker and such a legend in the filmmaking community, you know, he always made it a point to say that you're not making, you know, don't make a movie unless there's a real message there, a message to you, you know, something that you can really put on the movie as a director, you know? And I think that's really important, Blaine. So for me, I try to choose it accordingly. And I think that I liked all these things about C Street. And I think in my heart, I really felt there's something I can bring to this movie, you know? There's something I can bring to it intellectually, creatively, artistically to this film as a director. And ultimately, I think that's really how I made my decision. Now,
cool.
I know that you, I know you asked about the production process. Do you want to talk a little more? Or you want me to go into that?
Well, actually, a question just popped up. I definitely want to get back into that. And maybe we can even talk Cameron into getting on the line and talk a little bit about his experience of working with you, too.
Absolutely.
But what popped up when you were just talking is, you know, obviously you and Brett, the writer slash producer, have a long running relationship and you know each other really well. But that's actually something that's really interesting. So how do you, obviously, you're talking about bringing your own, as a director, bringing your own creative energy to a project. What's it like working side by side, you know, with a writer who's also a producer? And, you know, what's some of the stuff that comes up? And, you know, love to hear about some of the tension that happens. And, you know, tell us a good story.
Wow. Well, first let me say that filmmaking and film in general is a collaborative medium. You know, so what I think everybody, obviously the stars of the movie and the director are very glamorized, you know, very, very glamorized, I should say, in Hollywood and always have been, you know. But I like to always remind people that this is a collaborative medium, and it takes a lot of people to make a movie. You know, there's many producers. Sometimes there's a few, sometimes there's many, you know, sometimes there's more than one writer, you know, and then, you know, there's your art team, which contributes a lot. You know, that's very important.
Tell us what the art team is, because that, I know that has a specific meaning in film, but maybe some of our listeners might not know exactly what that is.
Absolutely. So the art team is comprised of two really big main people. You have your art director and you have your production designer. And, you know, they're there to communicate our vision. And what we mean by that is they're there to help us design the looks of our locations and our environments. So, you know, to dressing a house from the, you know, paintings that are on the walls, to the furniture, to the color, you know, of a location. I mean, the palette itself, you know, they're there to help create that whole artistic view. You know, when we, Blaine, go into a location and, you know, we whether we're in an apartment or in a house or we're outside in a park or even in a subway station, you know, we have the opportunity in what we're doing as filmmakers to create an creative and artistic look that we feel is part of the scene, part of the, you know, theme of our movie. And these art directors, these artists that work with us, the production designer, the art director, they're there to bring that to life. So they're there to turn all of these different various locations into what I'd like to see or what any director would like to see in their mind. And, you know, we get very creative with those things. We can pick certain colors because certain palettes and certain colors mean certain things. You know, so if it's a horror movie or it's a thriller and we want, you know, dark meanings, we can choose colors that can convey that. And we can do that in comedy. We can do that in romance. So you can get very creative. They have a very important job. The different props. Remember, there's a lot of things that go on in movies, you know, especially today. We have, you know, our characters are so involved with cell phones and different computers and tablet devices and different televisions and things because it's a part of the world. They're involved in making sure that that stuff is there and having it where it needs to be, when it needs to be. So they have a very important role, definitely a very important role. And there's a lot of people that are involved. I mean, you know, to continue where I was going, you know, you have your wardrobe artists, you know, communicating and creating the artistic look of your actors in your movie. You know, you have your makeup and hair artists, you know, that are creating that look that you want to achieve for your performers. And, you know, you have your crew, which, you know, your other filmmaking artists, which are your cinematographers, you know, that are working with a team of people to create the visual look of the movie. So there's a lot that goes on. And then, of course, you have all the incredibly talented people in post-production, you know, that are involved in creating the movie, you know, the music and working on the audio mixing and the visual and graphical design. So there's so much. So it's a collective medium. And as a director, just because I didn't write the movie, obviously doesn't make it, you know, difficult for me, I should say, as a director to work with somebody. It's a collective medium. So I'm excited to collaborate and share the creative vision with other like-minded artists. You know, I think that that's what creates great cinema. Not saying that as a director you can't write your own wonderful movies. I'm just saying that there's a great, you know, collaboration and an excitement that goes on working with another writer. So for me, you know, I always approach it, you know, very, very optimistic, very open-minded. You know, I approach it very open-minded, and I always say to myself, you know, this is a collective, you know, this collective effort, collective medium. You know, let me be open to somebody else's input and suggestions. Let me see where they're going, and let me see how I can make those ideas complement my own ideas. And that's kind of how I go about it. It certainly helps if you feel a connection with the person. You know, I mean, I'm sure you can admit, Blaine, you know, even in business and other things, when you work with other people on projects, you always tend to gravitate towards people that you kind of have a connection with. You know, there's a vibe.
Absolutely.
There. So the same thing exists here. I definitely want to work with people that I have a connection and a vibe with. Brett is definitely one of those people, 100%. So that's how I approach it. Now, as far as a story, if there was any conflict or anything of that nature, I would say that there is a good level of conflict with anything when you're creating something with somebody. You know, at the end of the day, you have to remember that art is something that we're very passionate about. You know, to be an artist, you have to have a lot of love and passion in what you're doing. And whether you're a writer, whether you're a musician, you know, whether you're a painter, you know, I mean, there's so much passion that goes into artistry. And, you know, it's easy to kind of clash because you're passionate. You know, passion is drama, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to clash, you know. But when you have a professional respect for somebody and you respect what they're about and what they're doing, and you respect what you're a part of, you know, you know, these things happen and, you know, you just move forward, you know, and you respect each other. Do I have a story for you? I'm trying to think, Blaine. I know you wanted a juicy,
Of course I do.
I know you do. You wanted a juicy moment. You know, I'm trying to think if I have, you know, I'm trying to think if I have, you know, a juicy moment.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you what, Peter.
I'll come back to it. I'll come back.
Yeah,
to
I was
going to
say, I'm going to let you off the hook here.
Okay.
But you were talking a lot about the collaboration and building a team and all of that, and you've actually got some really pretty interesting people who have done some really great stuff. And I would like to talk maybe a little bit about your co-producer, Ann Luster. And, you know, how did you get a hold of her? How did you find her? And what was the process you went through? You know, did you have personal connections? You know, because she's got quite
incredible
a history.
Incredible resume. Yeah. And first of all, Let me just tell people, foremost, she's an incredible producer and a wonderful person. She brought something to C Street that, I'm going to be honest with you, Blaine, we would have been sorely lacking. You know, her guidance as a producer and just as a friend, you know, was, its weight was in gold. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing this a while. She did a really great movie back in 2009 that she produced called Into Temptation. I recommend it for anyone to see. It's out there. It's on Netflix. It's on DVD, etc. It starred Jeremy Sisko, Christian Chenoweth, and Brian Baumgartner, three great actors. It's a really great movie, and she's done a lot of movies, you know, in her career and worked with a lot of great filmmakers. And Brett Lewis, the writer and the executive producer of the movie, was very good friends with her for many years, and he just couldn't imagine not convincing Anne to help us and to be a part of this movie and really be the movie's one of the movie's, you know, producers and help us bring this thing to life. And you know, he approached her, and you know, she loved the idea, and me and her really clicked right from the beginning, and she came on board, and we're so lucky and fortunate to have her. And she really brought a lot to the table, Blaine. You know, she helped us gravitate a lot of the stars that we inevitably signed and casted in the movie. Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, when you have that knowledge, you know, people don't realize, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but from my experience, what I think people have to understand when it comes to filmmaking is that producing is not just, hey, you know, I brought you an actor, or hey, I threw $100,000 at your movie. Yes, that's one mm-hmm. side of producing, Blaine. But there's the other side of producing where you're that nucleus. You know, you're that nucleus of our movie, and you have those answers, you know, and you really know what to do with all of the many complicated things. I don't mean to laugh, but all the many complicated things that happen every stage of the movie, you know, and you're that nucleus where you're like, okay, I know how to do this. I have the answers, you know, and this is how it's done. And this is how we do this. And this is how we get it done. And that's such a wonderful person to have on your movie. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, producers kind of, you know, I guess maybe that's why they get that big Oscar at the end of the day, best film, you know. You know, but yeah. It's not just a matter of throwing money at it. You know, we even had, you know, Ashley Vanderhorn, and she definitely deserves a shout out. You know, me and Ashley went to college together at Five Towns here in New York, and we both studied film there. And Ashley's been a longtime friend and colleague that I've collaborated with on my own personal projects, her personal projects, and now professionally. And, you know, she was our line producer on the movie. And for anybody, you know, if you want me to explain it, Blaine.
Please do. Yeah.
So line producer is basically their job, in a nutshell, is they're helping the main producer, which, of course, Anne was, organize and really control the day-to-day operation of the movie. So from really all of its different facets, you know, they're managing all the different crew, the different departments, the actors and, you know, the schedule, the broken down budget, and they're really working, you know, the unions, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They're really working with the producer. So it's a tough job, you know, and, she really did a great job, you know. But, you know, Anne, like I said, is somebody that brought a tremendous amount of professional Hollywood experience to our little indie movie, you know. Mm-hmm. And our movie benefited tremendously from it. And, you know, Blaine, when you have the producing side of the movie in such good shape, when you really know what you're doing, that kind of trickles. And that's the one part of the movie that you don't want to be in shambles or all over the place. That's that foundation. You know, if we're going to build the house, we got to have that solid foundation, you know?
Right.
And that's that foundation you've got to build off of. And she brought that. And we were extraordinarily lucky to have her, thanks to her friendship with Brett. And, you know, friendship aside, I think she just saw how wonderful this movie was and how great it could be. Mm-hmm. And I know that that excited her as well. So that's that in a nutshell, you know.
Great. So I kind of have a question, you know, a little bit more about that. So like on your day-to-day, so, you know, you're in production. You're going to locations. You're shooting every day. Does somebody like Anne actually, is she on set? Does she call in? You know, what is her, like, once you're launched and you're slamming it out, what is she doing then?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody was on site, you know, for our film. Let me start mm-hmm. there. Everyone was on site. I'm not going to say that every movie that's ever made, every single producer is on site, because that would be a lie, you know? And that doesn't mean that they're not doing their job or she's not doing her job. It right. just means that, you know, the different levels of films and the different things that are going on, it's not always necessary, you know, for the main producer and all the executives to necessarily be on set. Generally, there's fear that if somebody from the studio comes down, it's because there's a problem, you know. So, but for our movie, we were a very tight-knit of people. We were very close. We were very collaborative. And I think that we had a great symbiotic relationship. And we were really all there for each other and on site. And there was a tremendous amount of support every day that we were filming, from the production department to, of course, myself as the director and the crew. Everybody was there. And there was just a lot of support. You know, I don't want to say, Blaine, that, like, this person didn't have to be there that day or this person didn't. Because, you know, personally, I think it's great if everybody's there. You know, I mean, we're all working together. You know, I mean, and this is what we're striving for. But in our movie, because obviously that's what you're asking, she was there every day. And she was,
wow, that's
you know,
awesome.
Working. Absolutely. And she, you know, and she worked with Ashley Van Der Warn, our line producer. And then also we had a wonderful production manager, Mary the blogger. You know, so we had a really great kind of production team that worked under Anne, that provided her with a tremendous amount of support. We had a great assistant director, Melissa Watson. So our team kind of worked with her in tandem with her, I should say. And it was great. I mean, it was great having them because, you know, this is a fun yet problematic, you know, job, you know, making a movie every day. It's mm-hmm. so much fun, but it's problematic, you know, so there's a lot that
yeah.
goes on. And it's great to have the problem solvers there. You know, so we were so fortunate she was there every day with the production team. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you some questions that, you know, if you're not comfortable answering, just, you know, tell me.
Sure.
But, you know, as you know, what I'm hoping is that there's a bunch of young people out here who really want to make films that are listening to this. So let's get a little nuts and bolts here. You know, about kind of the business and the structure of it. So you really painted us a great picture about this, but you also, you know, you're a small film, a small independent film. And of course, I'm going to assume you had a relatively limited budget, right?
I just want to say real quick, that I think it's extraordinary that on, you know, kind of the independent level that we were at making this movie, that we were able to get, you know, the stars that we had. I mean, we had a total of, you know, really six well-known stars. We had Dylan Walsh, Carrie Lowell, Michael Gross, Don Stark, Bruce Altman, and Granger Hines. And those are all, you know, well-respected.
Those are names that... Yeah, you know, even I recognize those names. So
yeah, I mean, listen, yeah. they're all from stuff that over the years they've been in very successful network television shows. You know, Michael Gross was a part of the famous Family Ties that launched Michael J. Fox's career. It was an Emmy Award-winning show at NBC. You know, Dylan Walsh was in the Emmy Award-winning show that kind of was at the early stage of FX, Nip Tuck. You know, and the rest of them have all done a lot of wonderful things like that. So, yeah, we were very fortunate to have those type of names a part of, like you said, you know, this kind of smaller independent film. You know, so, but anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Blaine. I was just pointing that out, you know?
No, you actually were going in exactly the direction that I was hoping you would. Now, and because you're also one of the co-producers as well, so you're probably as much in some of these conversations. So how does, a little independent film like this approach and then end up landing, you know, named talent like this? And if you can, you know, get into how, you know, what's the deal like?
Well, I mean, I could only say what I could say, right? But
obviously,
I promise you, I'll share to you what you know, as much as I could share with anyone. You know, yes, you're right. I was one of the co-producers of the movie, so I was involved in kind of, you know, the whole really production, if you will, of this movie, possibly more than I would just as a director. Then again, you know, hey, listen, you're a director. There's a lot of respect. You know, you hear great directors talk about they're so involved. But regardless of that, yes, I was involved in the process. And, you know, as far as the celebrity talent, the one thing I will say is that one of the first things that we did when we when Brett kind of greenlit the movie, if you will, was immediately he honed in on getting a casting director. And I give him a lot of credit for that, because that's probably, and certainly you said young listeners listening, et cetera, that's probably one of the best pieces of advice I can give somebody from my experience working on C Street and the success that we've had is, I mean, he went straight after a casting director first before really much of anything else happened. Naturally, I was attached, so I guess you could say I was one of the first things that happened. But then after that, I think one of the best things that he did was jump on getting a casting director. And he really acknowledged, of course, with Anne's advice and Anne's guidance as the other producer of our film, that's an important piece of this thing, because that's what we really aspire to do when we're making a movie. One, we want to get an amazing cast. Of course, we want to get great people that embody the characters that are on the page. Two, let's be real. We want to get named talent, celebrities, well-known people in our movie. You know, that's part of, you know, the producing part of it, you know? And so going out there and getting a casting director first, I think was one of the smartest things, and I give Brett 100% credit for that. We hired a wonderful casting director. Her name is Erica Palgan. She owns her own casting company here in New York City. She works at Manhattan. And as soon as we hired her, she loved the script, loved the idea, and we brought her on board. And she, as well as Anne, you know, Anne's years of experience and her establishment in this business, kind of bringing those two elements on the movie, you know, Erica Palgan is our casting director and Anne Luster is one of our producers. You know, it was a great collaboration, and they worked together with us, and they really helped to gravitate to us the name talent that we eventually got. And, you know, Eric is great, and, you know, she reached out, you know, to the necessary agencies, you know, and you know, casting director is important, Blaine. You know, they're really kind of there to help you, obviously, cast your movie, but also in discovering talent that you want for the movie, you know, big or small, they're there to assist you, and she really helped us. And, you know, so did Anne, you know, so two kind of established, experienced people that, you know, we were able to bring on the movie really helped make that happen. This is a networking business, and everybody stresses that. And they don't stress it just because, you know, it's something to say. You know, it's not trivial. It has a point to it and a purpose. And this is exactly what you get when you're a part of networking. Because when you create your own project, okay, you now have to sit down and say, okay, well, how do I get X, Y, and Z? How you do that is because you've been networking. And you've procured those relationships with the necessary people that you're going to be able to reach out to, who either directly are going to be able to help you or at least point you to somebody that you wouldn't have been able to get to on your own that can help you. And that's exactly what you have here. You know, you have a situation where, you know, through good networking and through good friendships, everybody was able to kind of reach out and get to different people, you know, through mm-hmm. through that wonderful, through everyone's hard work and their skill. That's how it happened. And you know, obviously Brett networked and he's been friends with Ann, and that helped to bring all that together and whatnot. And through recommendations and through, you know, that networking and those recommendations and whatnot, find Erica Palgon, reach out to her and bring her on as our casting director. So you see what I mean? Does that kind of, you know, I hope that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, the networking piece is actually a wonderful segue kind of into the next piece. And I'm going to do a little plug for The Maverick Way right now. I mentioned briefly to you, The Maverick Way is going to be down to South by Southwest. So we're going to be doing the first part of the interactive, and then we're also going to be doing leaving and then coming back and doing the film slash music piece. So we're going to have something going on almost every day while we're at South by Southwest. So as we segue into the next piece, we've got about 15 minutes, folks. Please call in and ask a question if you'd like. Number is 646-564-9625. Again, 646-564-9625. Call in and ask Peter Iango anything you'd like about independent filmmaking and specifically C Street. So, Peter, all right, let's just say we've got through this process, and you've got a movie. What do you do with it?
Well, as you had mentioned earlier, I'm kind of involved in a couple of movies. You know, not just mm-hmm. C Street. In the last several years, I have been, you know, fortunate to be a part of several feature films. And before I did C Street, I actually I was the producer. You know, we've been talking so much about producing. I was the producer of two other feature films. One was called Casanova Was a Woman, and the other was Where Hearts Lie. And just briefly, because this definitely ties in what you're asking, you know, this can kind of well round the whole thing to give you an idea. Mm-hmm. You know, each of those movies have done some extraordinary things, including C Street. And one of the first things that we like, you know, that is a direction for independent films is film festivals. And film festivals give us an opportunity to do a couple of things. One, they're a huge networking platform. They give us an opportunity to show the movie to people, both colleagues and industry lights. They give us the opportunity to just meet other people in the industry, people from studios, other filmmakers and producers, which can help us, you know, obviously help us with our movie and help us with our networking, expanding it in general. And there's great accolades that come out of them. A lot of film festivals give awards for excellence in many different categories, whether it's the acting, the direction, the move, the overall film itself, the technical sides of it. So it does a lot of really great stuff for us. A lot of films use film festivals for all of that, and in addition, they hope that somebody there from a studio will be interested in purchasing their movie. And really the goal of making a movie independently is to get the movie signed by a studio for distribution. And what I mean by that is the goal is to get it out there. Today, of course, we have many different platforms. So the goal is to get a studio to pick up the movie and put it out there so people can watch it on the different, you know, video on demand features, the mm-hmm. digital features like Amazon, you know, Netflix, et cetera. And of course, you know, movie theaters. But with my other films, you know, especially with C Street, we definitely acknowledge that one of the first avenues is film festivals. And Casanova Was a Woman was the first one out of these three that I produced a little over 2 years ago. And that had an international star in it, an international soap star. Her name is Zulie Montero. And it also had a well-known American actress who's also in C Street, Jessica Blank. And she's done a lot of movies and appeared as a character actor in several shows. So anyway, what we went the festival route, and I'm just going to give you a scenario on all these mm-hmm. movies so you understand this is, you know, what we do. So the movie gets done, we put it out there in film festivals. Casanova Was a Woman did extraordinarily well at film festivals. For just to give a brief overview, it's an LGBT movie. You know, the writer and executive producer of the movie is a woman, so it is a female-driven feature and an LGBT feature, and it is a comedy. Now, that movie did really well. It won Best LGBT Feature Film at the Golden Door Film Festival. It was at the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival. It was at the Broad Humor Film Festival, The Voiceless. It won an award at Feminist Queer and International Film Festival. I mean, it's been winning awards, and it's been a part of some really great festivals. So now look at it this way. Here's your avenue. Bam, film festivals. We're winning awards. We're in festivals. Industry people are seeing it. People are seeing it. We're winning awards. We're doing press for it. It's getting out there. People are knowing about it. So now, thanks to all of that, Jezebel Montero, the executive producer of the movie, was able to procure a deal with a sales agency, an international sales agency in California, to now work on selling the rights of the movie to different distribution avenues. So you kind of mm-hmm. see how that's the road. Now move forward to my second film, Where Hearts Lie. That had several celebrities in it too. That had Malik Yoba, Clifton Powell, and Terrell Hicks. And that movie, that was a great drama thriller, loosely based on a real life story of a young urban man kind of working his way up in an undesirable, you know, neighborhood, if you will, and then meeting the wrong person and kind of, you know, suffering from a bad relationship, if you will. And that movie did a lot of great things itself. Now, again, the movie was done. What did we do? We put it in festivals. And it wound up winning the best feature film audience choice award at the 2015 October Film Festival here in Harlem in New York City. It also won several awards, including Best Picture, Best Screenplay, and Best Director at a film festival in Florida called the Treasure Coast Film Festival. And it's been a part of a few others. What happened with that? The executive producer and director of that movie, Tony Lindsay, has now, you know, put together a distribution deal with the studio and will be, you know, putting that movie out come, you know, spring/summer of this year. So you kind of see the cause and effect. And now, you know, we can announce that since we're, you know, kind of just recently got done with C Street a little while ago around the holiday season, now we're in a film festival. We're in a film festival in L.A. that Time magazine rated one of the top 10 best bets for indie filmmakers to go. It's called the First Glance Film Festival, and it's in California. And we're a part of that. So you see what I'm saying, Blaine? Like, to answer your question, you see the cause and effect with all my past movies. They get done. We hit the film festivals. We're there. We get some accolades. And then, bam, an opportunity comes along, and we're getting it out there. And to me, that's kind of a proven route, an avenue to take your independent film.
Gotcha. All right, great. So let's even talk to maybe some of these newer folks. Say maybe you've tried some distribution, you're not getting any bites, any nibbles, or you're even so small that maybe even getting into festivals even seems a little daunting to you. What's a little advice you might give to a young newly minted filmmaker out there about, you know, about how to get there. How do you submit to a festival? How do you get your stuff seen, even if you're not making festivals?
Well, you know, that is a really good question. You know, that's definitely, no, that's a good one, you know, because one of the things that I think, you know, is kind of paramount in this whole industry is the fact that there is no one way to go about anything, you know, in the motion picture industry. And what may work for somebody today may not necessarily be what worked for somebody else tomorrow, you know. So with that said, my advice is, you know, why we go about making these movies and certainly why we put celebrities in them. Well, first of all, we want really good, talented people in our movie. But in general, if you're making an independent movie, it helps. You know, it's you want to cast recognizable names because there's a level of that that's going to carry your film. It's going to add attention and it's going to add professionalism and kind of level of clout that's going to help you get the movie distributed, or it's certainly going to enhance your chances playing. You know what I mean? So regardless of festivals, I think what you really need to consider is that day one when you say to yourself, okay, I've got a script and I'm going to make it. I'm either going to self-finance it or I'm going to go out there and raise financing. And whether you self-finance it or you raise financing, I think that as early on in that early process that you can really decide, how am I really going to get this movie out there, you know? And you certainly want to lean on your other producers to help you kind of create a game plan. But more importantly, Blaine, I think you really want to sit down and you want to say, what are all my different options? What can I do? Do I have the budget and do I have the resources where I can hire, you know, certain celebrity talent to enhance the value of my movie? So this way my movie will become more of a valuable commodity to distributors. This way, if I don't perform well at film festivals, then can I go directly to sales agencies or distributors? And will they find a valuable commodity in my movie? Because let's say I put in, you know, a well-known celebrity, you know, whether it be old, new, television, film, etc. But what I would say is I think the best thing is to think about it from the beginning. You know, think about the different things we do to enhance the value of our movie to these studios. Does that make sense?
Yes. Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, festivals are only one thing, Blaine. There's sales agencies, there's sales reps and agencies all over the country that represent movies and help them get bought. There's studios directly, big, small. There's now digital platforms where you can directly go to Amazon, Netflix, iTunes, and you can actually self-publish your movie yourself. Perhaps that's something you want to do, too. There's a lot of different things to do. Definitely a lot of things to do.
Yeah, I know you and I had mentioned this to you before, but my friend Emily Best started an online platform called Seed and Spark, which any young filmmaker definitely get on their mailing list. It's just seedandspark.com. And they're a whole publishing platform. It's not even just a publishing platform. They're an entire crowdsourced production financing platform. It's an amazing space.
See,
all right, Peter.
That's great.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, she is going to do, once I get the web series going, we're going to be flying out sometime this summer, and she's going to be one of our episodes of the Maverick Way web series.
That's great.
So we're really excited about seeing that. And I'm going to see her down in South by Southwest, too. She's all over the place right now.
Well, you know, like you said, Blaine, the whole crowdfunding, you know, that's another way that a lot of filmmakers are getting their stories together. They're going out there and they're, you know, raising tons of money to make a movie that perhaps they wouldn't have been able to do. So that's definitely something, you know, people can always do that. You know, crowdfunding is a big deal today, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm going to do at least one more episode that's purely about crowdfunding, and then maybe we'll even do an episode that's crowdfunding for film specifically. All right, we've got Peter, we've got just a couple minutes left, and I'm going to get a story out of you, you know, before I let you off the phone. Here's a good one. Here's a good question for you. Tell me about the most terrifying experience you've had as a director.
Oh, man. That's a good question, man. That's a really – I don't think anybody's ever asked me that. They always polish it up. It's so true. It's always like, tell us how great directing is and how wonderful it is to live your dream. But nobody's like, hey, how much of a nightmare is it to make movies? You know, because it's a nightmare. No.
Well, but it can be, right? You like wake – I mean, I produce stuff all the time, and it's like all of a sudden there's – every once in a while there's that moment where you can have all of – the everything into place, you can have all of the experience and confidence that you know you can do it, but there's a moment every once in a while you're like, holy crap, this thing might completely fall to pieces.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there is so much anxiety that I think goes with and you know what? Anybody would be totally lying if they didn't admit that there's so much anxiety that goes with it, you know? I mean, there's so much riding on it. As far as my worst – well, I mean, I'm not going to say worst, but I definitely have had terrifying experiences. Because there's a lot that, you know, can go wrong. And there's a lot that you're really nervous is going wrong, you know? You want it just in directing, right? Okay. So, I had a lot of terrifying experiences, Blaine, when I made my first feature film.
And this is Casanova Was a Woman?
No. This is Casanova I just produced. I'm going back to first feature, which was Partners. And that was really, you know, the first feature film that I ever directed. You know, obviously it was nerve-wracking because it was my first feature film.
Oh, no! We lost him right as we were getting the story. So, anyway, hopefully Peter will call back and we'll be able to get that. But, again, the Maverick Way Radio Hour is going to be broadcasting live from South by Southwest. I'll be running around doing a lot of man on the street type of stuff, and we'll be posting something every day. So throughout the entire period of South by Southwest, please let us know. Please dial in, take a look, and here's Peter back.
All right. I don't know what happened, but it's okay. when I did Partners, first of all, I had self-financed that. I had borrowed money from friends, family. I mean, that was like max credit cards. You know, that was like a typical filmmaker story. You know what I mean? So I was terrified 90% of the time because, you know, I knew I was in that situation. But, you know, here's the thing. I was on set probably one day, and a friend of ours that was helping us with the movie had lent us their house, okay? Their house in Long Island, Westbury. I'm sorry, Westbury Glen. It was a beautiful house. You know, he had probably what you would consider a mini mansion. You know, he was totally cool with it. I'm going to paint you a picture of all of the bad things that happened. You know, I'm going to paint you a picture of all the bad things that happened during this one day. Okay. So he says to me, okay, you can come out and shoot. I say to him, listen, now the movie was a crime drama. Okay. So I say to him, listen, this particular scene, there's going to be a shootout. So I have guns that have been outfitted to fire blank bullets. So this way we're going to record real sound effects, and we're going to have the blowback action of the guns, so it looks realistic on camera. I said, so listen, I want you to know this. Are you okay with that? I said, I'm not going to come off your property because I don't want to permit Long Island. I don't want to bother your neighbors. I just want to be on your property. So legally, you can sign a release to put me on your property and I can do what I need to. And I said, I won't be filming past 11 because the noise would be a decimal issue with your neighbors. He said, fine, no problem, no problem. I said, but you know what? Maybe you just want to let your neighbors know anyway. You know what I mean? You know, because it is guns being fired off, you know? So he tells me he's got everything under control. Blake. He literally tells me, Pete, no problem. As long as you're done before like 9:30, 10 with the guns, you'll be fine, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going into this plane all stoked like, yeah, okay, we're fine, man, we're fine. You know, we're going to be able to get great shots and we're going to be able to do the scene. So we go there. Now, everything just went wrong that day. So we go there, and I had a generator, right? You know, I had a generator set up because, you know, I wanted to have certain lights outside of the house to really, you know, set up the effect of the firing of the weapons, the firearms, and the shootout theme, the choreography that we had worked out. We had a great choreographer on set. We had an ex-Navy SEAL who agreed to be our choreographer on the movie. He was a two-tour ex-Navy SEAL, and he choreographed all of our stuff. So really, you know, we really were approaching it the best way we could. So the first thing that goes wrong, Blaine, because you're really going to laugh, buddy, when I tell you all the stuff that went wrong that night. So the first thing that happens is we set up the generator. And my assistant director in the movie, because I didn't have a big crew. I was just a young kid in college. So my cousin at the time was also studying film, and we were kind of collaborating together. And he was like my assistant director, and he would help me with the lighting. He would really like – he just really helped me out, you know, every way he could. He's setting up the generator with a couple of other people, a couple of other students that came from the college to help me. And here's the first disaster that happened. The generator, we decide to put in the back of a truck that we rented. We rented a van from U-Haul. So we decided to put the truck inside the van because nobody was in there. So we figured we'd roll down one of the windows to ventilate the gasoline, and we'd close it so it muffled the sound the best it could because we're recording. I wanted to record live sound, okay, of the guns. I may not have used it, whatever. So this is our game plan, right? So we put the generator in the truck. Horrible idea. Horrible idea.
Just well, that's what I'm thinking, but...
Oh, yeah. Plain worst idea possible. So, I mean, you know, and it's, like, amazing that we're alive. Yeah, so the generator totally kicks back a massive surge of electricity and just propels... Joe was his name, was helping us. It propels him out of the back of the truck, you know? And, I mean, literally, imagine shooting a cannon, you know, like a ball out of a cannon, you know? Just blast him out. So that was the first mishap of the day. Thank God he was okay. There was no problems. But that was like the first terrifying moment. Because I mind you, that happened while I was rolling on a take. So I'm rolling on a take, and then it's just kaboom, you know, in the background.
Man.
Then the second thing that happened that was utterly terrifying yet again in this really bad day we had is we start now doing the gun scenes. We're way earlier than 9 o'clock. You know, we were very respectful of the time of the day. But it still was evening. We do the guns. The neighbors went crazy and thought people were literally dying and shooting each other on the block. Literally, Nassau County, several police officers and cars pulled up, guns drawn, ready to engage in a gunfight. Okay?
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, that was utterly terrifying because, I thought we were going to get shot. But, you know, that was utterly terrifying. Obviously, the gentleman that I rented the house from did not really communicate with his neighbors as he informed me and promised me that he did. So that never happened. And the neighbors had no idea, and of course we had to explain it to the police officers. And, you know, at first, you know, they weren't so quick to run away and just be like, okay, no problem. You know, they were definitely frazzled, you know, and, you know, it required a lot of communication on my part and on all of our parts to reassure them and explain to them what impression we had and what was really going on. And ultimately, you know, they let us film the scene. But that definitely was two terrifying moments directing. Definitely.
Oh my God. When you told me you put a generator in a truck, not that you would tell a story where you killed somebody, but my God, that was the first thing that happened in my head.
No. Thankfully, that's never happened. Knock on wood, Blaine, it's never happened. No, but
Exactly. Stay away from helicopters.
Do you have room for one more quick tidbit or no?
Well, you know what? Yeah. Well, tell you what. I've got somebody here who wants to say hi to you. And then we've got another tidbit. But I want to get this guy in because he just wants to say hello. So
Okay.
All right. So I'm not going to even say your name, sir, but welcome to the Maverick Way Radio Hour. You are speaking with Peter Iango, but you know that. So say hi to Peter and tell us why you called in.
Awesome. Well, Pete, what's going on? It's Derek T. Lewis.
What's up? What's up, Derek?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
Just to let you all know how this all correlates, I worked with Peter on two projects. One of them he spoke of earlier, Where Hearts Lie. I was brought in and I played the role of the prison guard. And then, I don't know, maybe about 9 months later, I get an email from Peter and regarding C Street. And I knew he was doing C Street. I knew what was going on. And he said, listen, I can audition people for this, but I think this will be tailor-made for you. And I said, well, what is it? He was like, listen, he was like, I don't know how you feel about it, but there's a role where in one scene you're going to be a security guard, but then there's going to be another scene where you're going to be dressed in a dress as a cross-dressing woman. And I was like, well, I don't know. I said, so he's like, here's what I'll do. I'll send you the script. Let me know what you think about it. Without hesitation, when I was done reading that script, I was on board. And
nice.
Peter was such a joy to work with. He brings the absolute best out of you. As a matter of fact, I know there were some times on set on C Street where he basically gave me the green light and had the trust in me to improv. And truly, and I mean, I think this really goes to show you when a director really believes in you, believes in your skill set, believes in all the things that you can do, all the things you can bring to the table, and just say, hey, knock it out of the park. It was an honor and a privilege for me. So I just, on this platform, I just wanted to, you know, give a big, big shout out to Pete for giving me the opportunity to display what I can do and to, you know, take my career to the next level. And because guys like Pete, that gives people like me an opportunity. So I just wanted to just say on your show that, again, he was an absolute pleasure to work with, and I hope to work with him again down the road.
Well, Derek, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Derek. Blaine, Derek is he's an awesome actor. Anyone that's listening out there, this guy is this guy deserves a lot more work. He's a great actor. Derek has a great talent, a great skill set, and very professional. And that was probably one of the funniest phone calls I have ever made to an actor that I know. Like, hey, you interested in this part? But it was a unique part, and Derek definitely, I thought of him as the right person to have fun with it. And, Derek, I think you definitely did have fun with it.
I did. I honestly did. And, again, it was a great time. It was a great cast. I learned a hell of a lot from a lot of good people on set.
That's what it's all about. Thanks a lot, Derek.
All right. Derek, thank you. Derek, give us your last name again just so people – dude, you've got an amazing voice. So
thank you.
You
thank
know.
You so much. Derek T. Lewis. Derek T. Lewis. You can reach me on Twitter @TheRealDTLew.
All right. Thanks, Derek, for calling in. I really appreciate you popping in for us.
You got it.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Well, Peter, we actually have gone almost 15 minutes over time, which I had a feeling might happen with you. So I actually had Cameron schedule the show long today. Normally it's an hour long show, but man, thank you so much. I just had an absolute blast.
Me too, Blaine. Me too. Thanks a lot. I definitely did.
Our pleasure. So why don't you just really quickly tell us, you know, you've got, I think, three films right now that are kind of in play right now. Just rattle them off again. And if there's somewhere where we can see them, let us know. And then let us know maybe where some of these festivals might be where we can find you.
Sure. So first of all, my production company, Indelible Films, my website is IndelibleFilmsLLC.com. You can see all the information about all of these movies and more on there. As far as C Street, you can come out and see the movie if you're L.A.-based. It will be at the First Glance Film Festival playing, and the festival is April 15th through the 17th in California. It's at the Regal Cinemas out there in L.A. You can go to First Glance's website, First Glance Film Festival's website, to see the information about when it's playing. Our trailer is on my website. You can just go to YouTube and type in C Street Movie, and you'll see the trailer. We also have our Facebook page, C Street Movie, on Twitter and Facebook. That's our handle. So you can go on that and see all the updated information. You'll be able to see the movie soon, hopefully. More importantly, the other movies that I talked about, Casanova Was a Woman and Where Hearts Lie, you can find their information on my page as well, IndelibleFilmsLLC.com. Like I said, you know, Where Hearts Lie is coming out at some point this spring. So if you stay on top of it, it also has its own website, WhereHeartsLie.com, and it's also on Facebook. Where Hearts Lie Movie is its Facebook handle, and you can see all the information of that. So really, I mean, really, anybody can see all of our stuff either on my website or on social media. It's all out there. You know, it's definitely all out there. And all the release dates and all the trailers, everything's out there. Everything's out there.
All right. Well, Peter Iango, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, you can get a hold of him at IndelibleFilmsLLC.com, or you can always contact us. This has been the Maverick Way Radio Hour and a little more than a quarter tonight. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. Thanks, Peter, for joining us.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Tom.
I'm just going to do one more little plug here. Tune in during South by Southwest, which starts March 10th. The Maverick Way will be on site at South by Southwest for a good portion of it, if not all of it. And you can find us at the handle TMW at SXSW. So TMW at SXSW. And hopefully you'll be getting daily updates of what's going on down in Austin, which is an awesome place. So maybe next year we'll go down to film and go play in Austin for a while, Peter.
Oh, man, listen, you don't have to convince me to take a trip down to South by Southwest, Blaine. I mean, between South by Southwest and Sundance, you know, there's some great venues out there, and, you know, they're a blast to go to. You'll have to call me when you're down at South by Southwest and tell me what
Absolutely.
It's like down there.
Oh, you got it, man. You got it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Again, this has been the Maverick Way Radio Hour with director Peter Iango, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Good night. Thanks.
Good night.